We welcome wonderful moment again in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have a translator today. My best friend. Just a few announcements again, just to add on that. That we are changing a bit of our program. So we take session 2 to session 1.
So touch session 2, sibeke ku session 1.
So don't get confused.
Ungamangali.
So now we are talking about the authority of scripture in African traditions.
Sikhuluma the authority yezwi likaNkulunkulu kuma tradition wethu wesintu.
So that's why if you are taking your notes, we are talking about the authority in African traditions.
Sikhuluma ngamasiko izwi likaNkulunkulu kuma emasikweni wethu wesintu.
Ngo 2006.
In 2006,
I met a guy by the name of Gregory.
Sangane nomuntu igama lakhe uGregory.
He was having a girlfriend.
Bekane girlfriend.
And we are in a church camp.
Bese ecampini njalo.
That troubles me.
Lo uyangithusa.
You may be wondering why I was troubled.
Uyazibuza mhlawumbe ngiyangamangazwa yini lapho.
It's because I was raised in a different culture.
Mina ngakhuliswa ekhaya elingafani.
I was from a church
bengiphuma esontweni
whereby a pastor will preach Sunday in and Sunday out.
La umfundisi bekashumayela isonto nasonto.
Having relationship with sin if you are not married.
Uba ne girlfriend ungashadanga isonto.
So now I'm meeting this white guy.
Manje hlangana nalo muntu wemlungu.
He's handsome.
Naye uyabukeka.
The girlfriend is beautiful.
Hey, ne girlfriend yakhe.
But to me they are sinning.
Kodwa kimi bayabona.
Because it's unbiblical.
Ngoba ayikho ezwini
kaNkulu. That is the culture I've been raised by.
Ile ndlela mina ngikhuliswe ngayo.
I went also to school.
Ngaye esikolweni.
When I got there,
mafika khona.
I addressed the lecturer.
Ngakhuluma nomuntu ofundisayo.
By name.
Ngambiza ngegama lakhe.
I say, "Hi, Plodinek."
Ati sawubona Plodinek.
And he got offended.
Ai wazi ubuhlungu mangisho njalo.
He said, "I'm Mr. Plodinek."
Wathi ngubaba uPlodinek.
I was also offended.
Nami ngeza ubuhlungu.
Because in the very same organization I was in.
Kuthi la nami bengikhona kulomhlangano.
When I tried to use the titles.
Mangisebenzisa lawo magama.
They will say, "No, I'm John."
Bazothi cha, ngujohn.
I'm like, "You are Mr. John."
Ngithi hawu sabona Mr. John.
And now you say, "No, I'm John."
Uthi cha, ayi mina ngujohn.
Now I'm saying Plodinek.
Manje ngithi Plodinek.
He's saying, "No, I'm Mr. Plodinek."
Uthi cha, ngubaba Plodinek.
So you can tell that tradition plays a vital role in the life of a person.
Manje siyazi ukuthi amasiko adlala irole enkulu emuntwini.
Tradition shapes the way you think and the way you do things.
Amasiko ayebumba indlela oqabanga ngayo nalendlela osebenza ngayo.
The way you view things.
Lendlela ubona izinto
ngayo. The way you view people.
Lendlela ubona abantu ngayo.
Is affected.
Ingena
is affected by your roots.
Ila uphuma khona.
By the way you were raised.
Alendlela le uyakhuliswa ngayo.
It is John S. Mbidi.
John S. Mbidi.
Who wrote a lot on African tradition.
Oyabhala okuningi ngamasiko wabantu.
In his book African Religion and Philosophy.
African religion and philosophy.
He states that
uthi
in traditional religion
emasikweni
there are no creeds
akho umthetho
to be recited
ofanele ufunde.
Instead
okwenzakalayo
the creeds are written in the heart of individuals
umthetho ubhalwe enhlizweni zabantu.
And each one is himself a living creed
umuntu umthetho wakhe
of his own religion.
Esikweni lakhe.
Where the individual is,
la umuntu akhona.
There is his religion.
Inkolo yakhe naye ikhona.
For he is religious being.
Ngoba naye isiko lakhe.
It is that makes an African so religious.
Yilo enza umuntu abe umuntu wamasiko.
Religion is in the whole system of an African.
Amasiko ase system in yomuntu womAfrika.
So when we deal with African traditions,
uma sikhuluma ngamasiko amaAfrika,
we need to understand
fanele sizisize
that wherever you are sitting,
ukuthi la uhleli khona,
you also have a tradition,
nawe unesiko,
you've got a way of doing things,
unendlela oyenza
izinto. So what I'm trying to argue,
lokho engizama ukukuletha,
is that what is the final authority,
ukuthi ubani oyenza
isiko, is it your traditions
ngaba amasiko wakho,
or is it the word of God? So that is what I'm hoping to do. I'm
going
to present three arguments why I believe the Bible is the final authority in our practice. So that's what I'm planning to argue. And I'm hoping also we'll use these arguments as we talk with people and bring them to the scriptures and say, if we are saying what you are doing is wrong, why is it wrong according to the Bible? And if we are saying it's right, why is it right? It's not just enough to say, I'm a Zulu, this is how I do things. I'm a Xhosa, this is how I'm doing things. The question is, what is the Bible saying in the Zulu culture?
Manje ufanuzibuza ukuthi iBhayibheli ithini eculture yamaZulu?
What is the Bible saying in the Xhosa culture?
iBhayibheli ithini emasikweni amaXhosa?
The things that you are doing,
into ozenzayo.
The things that I'm doing,
lento engizenzayo.
They need to pass through the filter.
Fanele zindlule phakathi kwefilter.
Of God's word.
Yezu likaNkulu.
In other words, the word of God.
Kushuthi izwi likaNkulu.
It should allow what is right and what is wrong. So that's what I'm hoping we'll do. Firstly, the Bible defines the purpose of traditions. When we talk about a tradition, we are talking about a way of living that is passed down from generation to generation. That is what we are talking about. The way of living, the way of doing things, that has been passed down from one generation to another generation, or from one community to the next community. And again, this guy Mbiti continued to help us in bringing the light in the way Africans do things. I don't think he is a believer the way he argues. So, but what he's doing, he brings a better light in terms of the way Africans are doing things.
So don't think
that guy is a Christian, so why is he saying things like this?
So
I say, I don't think he's a believer.
It's
John S. Mbiti.
John S. Mbiti.
Let me clarify that one again. Because I was accused somewhere that I said Mbiti is wrong. So I'm saying it's John S. Mbiti. It's not the Adam Beat that we agree with.
So
this guy is saying Africans, they are notorious religious. Each people has its own religious system with a set of beliefs and practices. So again, he explained that the belief of a person, it affects the way he lives his life. So now, even an African has beliefs that affects the way he's living life. He says, when an African, where the African is, there is his religion. He carries it to the field where he is sowing seeds or harvesting a new crop. He takes it to the beer party or attend a funeral ceremony. And if he's educated, he takes religion to his examination room.
At
school or in university. If he is a politician, he takes it to the House of Parliament. So you can tell that an African, he takes his religion everywhere he goes. Everybody comes to church, he takes his religion there. The thing that he's doing is affected by what he believes. So what is the Bible saying in all this? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1.
Genesis chapter 1.
Verse 26.
Chapter 1, verse 26.
In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
Lapho uGenesis 1:26 ithi uNkulunkulu wathi asidale umuntu ngomfanekiso wethu.
So man is created by the image of God.
uNkulunkulu yenza umuntu ngomfanekiso wakhe.
Now in Genesis 2:16-17.
uGenesis 2:16 kufika ku-17.
God commanded man to eat everything in the garden.
uNkulunkulu yavuma ukuthi umuntu angadla noma yini.
Apart from the tree of the knowledge of evil and good.
Aphandle kwesihlahla sokwazi okuhle nokubi.
In Genesis 2:15.
Genesis 2:15.
God gave a man a work to do.
uNkulunkulu unikeza umuntu umsebenzi.
He's telling him to till the ground.
Uyamtshela ukuthi asebenze emhlabathini.
He gave him the theology of work.
Uyamnikeza ukuhlakanipha kwe.
I believe this is what Adam passed down to his son. Because in Genesis chapter 4, we are told that Cain was keeping the ground. And
Abel,
he was keeping the sheep. So God gave, now you can see there that they were doing what God told Adam that they need to do.
Wabona ukuthi bewayenza lokhu Adam uNkulunkulu bekatshela uAdam ukuthi akenze.
Genesis 2:28.
UGenesis 2:28.
God gave man a wife.
uNkulunkulu unikeza umuntu unkosikazi.
And God told the man,
uNkulunkulu utshela indoda,
you shall leave your father and your mother.
Uzoshiya umama nobaba.
And cleave to your wife.
Unamathele kunkosikazi wakho.
I believe also,
ngiyakholwa futhi,
that Adam,
uthi Adam,
he took this tradition,
wathatha lesiko,
these teachings,
le mfundiso,
that he got from God,
le ayithole kuNkulunkulu,
and he passed it down,
wandlulisa,
to his son,
kubantwana bakhe.
Now you will see,
manje uzobona,
that Cain will take a wife.
Uthi uKayini uzothatha
umfazi. Who taught him about the wife?
Ubani omfundise
ngoku? So we'll see that in a minute.
So bona lapha.
Now God also in Genesis 2:19.
Lapho uNkulunkulu futhi uGenesis 2:19.
He's giving a man an ability to think and create.
Unikeza umuntu amandla wokuthi acabange nokuthi ayenze.
You name the animals.
Uthi wena uzobiza zonke ilwane.
So Adam he named all the animals.
Adam wabiza zonke wanikeza.
That you are seeing today.
Njengoba sibona namhlanje.
And he was perfect.
Bekaphelele.
He had a perfect memory.
Bekakhumbula.
He remembered. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't say you are a dog, you are a cat. And then sing a dog and say, cat, dog, what are you? He remembered all the animals. You know, as we still struggle, which is which. But him, he had a perfect knowledge. He remembered that. Now, due to the wisdom of God that he placed on
man,
man is now able to make bridges, creating cars, and creating great buildings that we admire. For example, in Genesis 4:17, we see Cain building a city and name it after his son Enoch. Where did he got that ability? Where did he got that wisdom? He got it from God. But you need to notice again that even since Cain has sinned against God, by killing his brother, but he's still able to build a city. He's still on the level of wisdom. For example, in Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, we are told that God has given us his laws in our hearts.
Even
people who don't know God's word, in their hearts, God has given them the ability to do things. This time I like Jonas Mbithi. He says, African soil is not so infertile that it cannot produce its own new ideas. We need to think about that. That we are not so infertile that we cannot think of anything. That we need the words to tell us what to do, what not to do, what is right, what is wrong.
It's saying
African can produce their own new ideas.
That is why I'm saying in
this
verse,
God is giving man his common grace.
The fact
that man can think, and the fact that man can create things, is given that ability by God. Is common grace. He gives that ability to believers, and he gives that ability to unbelievers. Now, that is why Africans, they were able to think. They came with ideas of saying, if we want to keep the young girls pure, let's help them. Let's make sure we educate them on purity. They didn't read the verse on purity. But how did they know that?
It's
God who puts it in their heart to be able to do what is right. But on the very same time, we see them doing what is wrong. God didn't teach them to make, to take more than one wife. So Africans now, they take more than one wife. They didn't read David. Don't start there when you explain. They didn't read David. Solomon. No, in their hearts. They like, no, this wife can't do everything. I need a second one to help this one.
What I lo fazi lo we had to a kongeza zonkis into sentinga OSB looters on seas.
And then they say, yeah, this is a good law.
Babu nguta lo mcheto muse.
They ask wives, do you have a problem with that?
Babu zam abon kosi ya zgutu nengina na.
They said no, the wife is too the work is too much.
What I umsevin zam.
Let me look for you.
What I zopegele, zofunela.
I will look what kind you want. Don't worry, I will find that one for you. That's how they will do things. The husband said, that's fine. They didn't read the Bible to know that this is wrong and this is right. But what do we do with that now? Now you are a Christian. What do you do with the teachings that were passed on you? The Bible tells us that you need to trust God. That is why you need now to say, what is God saying in his word concerning this practice? And if you notice, God has commented in all those practices. He has commented on marriage. And he has commented of, on not taking more than one wife. So you need to look what the Bible says. That is what we believe.
that the Bible is the final authority. What makes it so superior? What makes the Bible so better? It's because it came from the mouth of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21.
2 Peter 2 verse 21.
2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 to 21.
Petrus Westbill, chapter 1 verse 21.
We are told that God is the one who has given his spirit to the people who are writing the Bible. He led them to write. To write everything that is in this book,
it
comes from the mouth of God. According to 2 Timothy chapter
3.
Let's read that verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16.
Timothy Westbury chapter 3 verse 16.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
Timothy Westbury
chapter 3. Let's go there and just read. 3. I'm sorry if I'm rushing my time. I'm hoping we'll cover a lot of things. Time is not waiting for me.
Verse 16.
All scriptures is breathed out by God. And is profitable. All scriptures is given by God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be trained, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God gives us his word. That word breathed out is from God himself. It's from directly from the mouth of God. So that the man of God may be complete. So it's profitable, it's useful. The Bible is useful to teach us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness. And that is why the Bible continues saying it is a perfect rule for life and godliness. In
2
Peter chapter
1
verse
3.
The word of God trains us for life and righteousness. So in order to live a righteous life,
which is mafuna ukuphila impilo elungile,
we need to turn to the word of God. It will help us. It is better. So what is the problem then with our cultures today? What is the problem with the way you do things? That is leading us to the second point. The Bible describes the problem of traditions. Firstly, I said the Bible defines the purpose of traditions. Now, the Bible describes what went wrong. That's what I'm looking at. Now, that is what we see in Genesis chapter
3.
What went wrong? You will remember the story. That God in chapter 2, he said to man, you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of evil and good. So what is happening in chapter
3?
Sin came in. Now in chapter
2,
God is helping man how to live in the Garden of Eden. God is giving them the traditions of living in the Garden of Eden. What to do and what not to do. Name animals and eat whatever that you want.
Don't
eat from this specific
tree.
But notice in chapter 3 that Satan also appears. And is also bringing his own tradition. Satan introduced another tradition. And what is that tradition? Notice in chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the women, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say that? There was no one that the devil could point. It's God. He can point God. Did he actually say? Actually smoking this. Do you really believe that? Were you really listening? Did God really say that? And the devil said, no, I don't think so. So he's presenting another tradition. Do what is right in your own eyes. You'll remember what the woman did. The Bible says he saw that the tree was good. So she decided to do what is right in her own eyes. Now, what is wrong with traditions today? Is that men have moved from walking in the traditions of God. And they formulated their own traditions. Jeremiah calls this broken systems. In Jeremiah 2:13, he says, men, they are digging their own systems. They are broken systems. They bring their own ways of doing things. Man is sinful. He thinks and he creates things, but it's tainted with sin. Whatever that man come up with is tainted with sin. In Genesis 6 verse 5, just turn there. Genesis 6 verse 5, in verse 5 the Bible says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now you need to notice again. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. It means the old and the young. It means black and the white. It means the uncles, the chiefs, and the kings. They have sinned. And they came short of the glory of God. Now that's what the Bible presents to us. What is the problem of man? What is the problem of traditions? It's sin. Whatever that people are doing is tainted with sin. And Paul tells us in Colossians 2 verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captives by the philosophy and the empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not of Christ. Be careful. Be careful. That no one put you under bondage by the teachings of men. What is wrong with the teachings of men? What is wrong with the teachings of the world? They are influenced by the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse
1,
the Bible tells us that the God of this world has deceived many. So the Bible says be careful that you are not being deceived. You are not being put in captives by the teachings of men, not the teachings of Christ. And now when we talk about the teachings of men, they are contrary to the teachings of Christ. So what am I saying? I'm saying traditions, man's practices, need to be put under the word of God. I'm saying we need a biblical microscope. We need to test and check whatever that we are doing, that is it according to the word of God. And friends, it's easy to be passionate about traditions. You are not the first one to be zealous about traditions. You know, someone said, you know, when we come to traditions, my rule. My roots. This is my roots. Wife, it's fine we are married. It's fine we are married. But as a Zulu man, this is what I prefer. Not as what the Bible says. As a Zulu man.
You know, to us who manage to marry the 21st century woman.
Now,
you know, you come home, then they hold you by hand. I'm a Zulu man.
Don't
have to hold me. It's fine. I'm not running away. I'm here with you. Why should you hold me? That is how Zulus have been doing things. I mean, in the past, that's how they were doing things. I mean, I grew up with my grandfather and my grandmother. Even the way they walk, they don't walk together. My father walks in front with his stick, and my grandmother is following with us kids. No problem.
You will
come and want to hold your hand.
Again, that's a bambi sand.
I'm with you. It's because of what you were seeing. Of what you were observing. The question is, it right or wrong? Now we go back to what is the Bible saying? How are we supposed to love one another? I mean, somebody explained that one, the way Christ loves us. He says, Christ loves us in public. And I tried to act as if I didn't hear that. Because I could discern where he's going. And he said, Christ died on the cross for you. He didn't die in private. He died publicly. That is his husband. I like, I saw it coming.
You
love your wife in public. Not only in secret. In public. I remember talking with another guy. He just said to me, you know these wives, they want us to love them with this Hollywood love. I'm like, Hollywood love. I'm thinking this brother is helping me. Hey, Hollywood love. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. As we're reading Song of Solomon,
Solomon,
I think it's public.
And the Bible talks about that. So the way we do things need to be tested by the word of God. Let me move. I'm saying you can be zealous about your traditions. You can be passionate. Be rooted in it. But you can be rootedly wrong. In what you think and believe is right. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 verse 14. Just jot it down if you have something. I'll just read it for you. Just jot it down. Galatians chapter 1 verse 14. And Paul is saying, and I was advancing in Judaism. Beyond many of my own age among my people. This is the phrase I want you to pay attention to. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Did you notice that? He says I was zealous for the traditions of God. No. For the traditions of my fathers. My father used to do things like this. Our culture, we used to do things like this. That's what we are saying. I was not different than you. Among my peers, I was getting 90%. I was so good when it comes to the traditions, to keep their practices. That is what he's saying. That's how even Africans think. Being zealous of man's traditions, not God's traditions. Let me explain. When a student faints in class during exam, what do you think? An African doesn't think it's too hot. No, he's not thinking that. Or if right away, I mean, I remember when we went for my wife's friend's graduation. When we went there. So when we were going out, now another girl fainted.
These
are Christians. They gave the comment. Oh, they bewitched her. You see, that's how they think. They don't know what happens. We're just passing the lady struggling, breathing hard, and they're like, oh, they bewitched her. That's how we think. You don't think, no, it is too hot. You know, the room is too hot. That's why the person is fainting. Actually, the story to stress this point has been told. That for an African, even if he can be stung by a mosquito carrying malaria, and they examine and say, what was the problem? You were stung by a mosquito carrying
malaria.
Africans still ask, why that mosquito didn't bite someone else? Why specifically me?
Why me?
Someone is bewitching me.
Why me?
That is the thinking. No, there's nothing that just happened. Why it happened to me?
Why enzakalekimi?
Again, we need to bring our tradition and practices to what the Bible says. This is what leads us to my third point. This is what we talk about, how to get right. How can traditions be perfect? That's what we are looking at. How to get right. We have established that man came up with tradition. Not because they wanted to make life hard and miserable for us. But they meant for good. God gave them the wisdom to think and to create.
Put
in their hearts the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Then what went wrong? We said the problem came when Adam sinned against God. And man's perspective was tainted with sin. His mind became sinful. Due to that, man is worshipping traditions of man than the traditions of God. Now my question is deadly. What is the solution of the traditions of man? What is the solution? We need to look at the perfect revelation. Man managed through a general revelation to understand that there must be a God who has created the world. But that revelation was not enough. It was not enough. Now that revelation was not enough how to do things. What to believe in the light, what to believe and how to behave in the light of what you believe. Let's think about this. I'm saying through general revelation, the fact that you look and you say there's someone who created the world, that revelation was not enough to help you to know what to believe and how to behave in the light of what you believe. The fact that the conscience of man helped him to do what is right. It was not enough to lead him to a life that is pleasing to God. Even though God reveals it in our hearts what is wrong and what is right. But that was not enough. But the Bible says, God now gives us a perfect revelation. He gives us His word. That is enough for life and godliness. That we need to do things based on what the Bible teaches. That Bible says all scriptures given by God is not given by our uncles, nor our elders, or chiefs. All scriptures is given by God. It's inspired by God. That's the word we are looking at. We are learning from what the Bible says. And how can we live our lives based on what the Bible says? We need to learn from the perfect revelation of God. The Bible is a manual of living life. And your practice is affected by what you believe. Whatever that you do is affected or influenced by what you believe. Now, do you think God has the right to tell us what is right and what is wrong? That's why He gives us the manual. That's why He gives us the Bible. Now, when we argue this point, it's very important to present to you that who is the oldest between my uncle and God. We do respect the elders. But who is the oldest? We are not trying to be disrespectful here. We want to respect the elders. Who is the oldest in the elders? Who is the oldest in the chiefs? Who is the oldest in the kings? That's what we want to establish. Is God the older? Who is the older? Is it God or your uncles? That's what we want to argue. And if we can establish that God has a right to speak to the elders, to say what is right to the elders, and to say what is wrong to the elders. So if we agree on that one, then we're not going to have a problem. How do we get right? Look at the perfect revelation of God. I really respect our elders. I think they did well without the Bible. They used their mind more than this generation. They were thinking better than this generation. They did better. I respect them for that. But now we have a perfect revelation. We've got more light than them. We should know better than them. We should reason better than them. We should explain things better than them. Because we've got the revelation they didn't have. We have a better revelation. We have a better revelation. That is why our Lord Jesus says, John the Baptist, he was the greater prophet among the prophets. But the greater is he. Greater is the person who believes him now. Because he has more perfect revelation than John the Baptist. He has a better revelation than Jeremiah. He has a better revelation than Isaiah. Because he knows. My next point under perfect revelation, the perfect sacrifice. He knows who is this perfect sacrifice. And the Bible says this perfect sacrifice is the solution of God in our sins. Adam was our representative to God. Adam, he was our representative to God. He sinned and we all fell into sin. Oh, but God, so great and merciful. While we were still sinners, he showed us his love. He demonstrated his love by giving us a better representative. He gave us a better representative, who is Christ, who kept God's tradition perfectly. Human beings fail to keep God's tradition. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he kept it perfectly. He obeyed God perfectly. So only when you have believed in Christ, you will be able to view the world in a biblical perspective. Apart from Christ, you will continue to view the world in traditional religion perspectives. Only through Christ. Through Christ you can be able to interpret the life better. Let's look at the perfect interpretation. How do we get right? You look at the perfect revelation. You look at the perfect sacrifice with Christ. And you look at the perfect interpretation. The problem that we are facing is that people read the Bible upside down. And the problem of that is that they are natural people. That's the reason. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Paul says a natural man doesn't understand the things of God. The natural people, they are the ones dead in sins and trespasses. According to Ephesians 2 verse 1 and 2. Paul tells us in Corinthians that their veil in their eyes is not removed. They are not seeing clearly. And that is the problem. They are still walking in darkness. According to 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7. And don't think they long for the light. Don't think they long for the light. According to John 3:20, they love to be in the darkness. They love to be in the dark. Now you will hear people saying, yeah, but Christ says he didn't come to destroy our traditions. Do you remember that verse? You know, sometimes I like to make some fun when we discuss with people on that. I say, where in the Bible? I say, no,
you are
a pastor, you know, I don't know.
But
where is that? You know what is the problem? People don't read the Bible. They hear someone saying this. They don't read it. And I
said,
no, where? I need to find that verse. I'm like, no, I will go and find it. I'm like, no problem, no rush, I will wait. Go and look for it. I know where is that verse. But I want to know, do you know the verse? Have you read the verse? Because if you are reading the verse, you will find he's not saying that. Now, let's look at that verse. Matthew 5, verse
17.
You'll say, wow, this is a favorite verse. People will like this verse. Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Where is Amasigo then?
Where are the traditions then?
Do not think I have come to abolish the law. Or the prophets. So which prophets?
Our prophet Ibapi.
Zangomas?
Izangoma.
Is Jesus saying I didn't come to destroy the law? And the prophets?
Nama prophet.
Which prophet?
Ma prophet Ibapi.
Don't look far from the power.
The
answer is just there. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That is the problem word. To fulfill them. Christ says he didn't come to destroy. But to fulfill. Now look at the next verse. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota nor a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Now, again, Christ is saying, the law, he's talking about the law here. He's not talking about the laws of men. The way people are doing things. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the laws of Moses. And he's talking about the biblical prophets. That's what he's talking about. He's saying the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are in agreement. I'm not coming to destroy what they say. I am just coming to complete it. That is that word to fulfill. So this verse has nothing to do with your practices. So it's not in the Bible. But Africans love that verse. Jesus didn't come to destroy. Try another one. It's not in the Bible. Let's look another verse. In Mark chapter 7. Where Jesus is dealing with the traditions. And he speaks directly to the issue. Now in Mark chapter 7. Because of my time, I'm hoping I will end with this verse. I hope it will help us to get the point.
ngithemba ukuthi izosinceda ukuthi sithole le ndaba kahle.
In Mark chapter 7,
kuMark chapter 7,
we are beginning reading from verse 1.
Sicala kuverse 1.
Says when now when the Pharisees gathered to him, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. Now you need to notice the Jews, the Jesus' disciples, they are doing a practice that is contrary to the Pharisees' tradition. They're just eating, not washing their hands. And they're like, oh, that's wrong now. And these are Jesus' disciples. Look in verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands. Holding to the traditions of God, right? Right? Is that what it's saying? Holding to the traditions of God. Holding to the traditions of their elders. That's why they are doing this. And when they come from the marketplaces, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe. Now, so you can tell that I've got a way of doing things. Is Jesus
going to
agree with it or condemn it? I want you to notice what he's going
to
say. Now, in verse 6. Now, in verse 5, they complain to Jesus. Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? Not according to the traditions of God. The problem is the elders. They love their elders. But they don't love God. That's the problem. Why is that, Jesus? He said in verse 6, and he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you? That Isaiah is the prophet that we talk about in Matthew 5 verse 17. That's what he's talking about. He said, Isaiah was right concerning you. What did Isaiah say about these people? Of you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain do they worship me. In vain, in verse 7, do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of God. I'm checking that people are reading. Teaching, they're not teaching the teachings of God. They are not teaching God's doctrines. They are teaching the traditions of men. Look in verse 8. You have lived the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. That's what you have done. You see the conflict? Where is the conflict?
It's
between what men are teaching and it's between with what God is teaching. And Jesus is saying, the problem, you cannot be honoring both. You will leave one and you will honor the other. And thus you leave the commandment of God and you hold to the tradition of men. Now look at verse 9. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your traditions. He says, you have a fine way. You have a good way. That you actually want to leave what God is teaching, so that you will keep the tradition of man. You want to keep the traditions of people who are not inspired.
ngifuna ugcina imithetho yabantu abangathumanga uNkulunkulu.
That is the problem.
Inkinga yilapho.
So when we think about traditions,
manje masicabanga ngamasiko.
I gave you more of what the Bible is saying.
Ngitshele okudlula lokho iBhayibheli.
What the Bible is saying is that God's word,
lokho iBhayibheli isho ukuthi
it should be a filter.
Yilo elifanele
lisize. And check everything that you are doing. Allow it to pass through God's word. Now let me conclude with these three things. Or these three authorities. That I think they are very important in the lives of people. We have the dead people. We have witch doctors. And we have elders. These are very important in the life of an African. Now, when we talk about the authority of the dead people, and the reason why I started with the dead people,
it's
because the dead people, they are the one affecting the witch doctors and elders. That's how it starts. Every teaching that the elders are holding, from the dead people. Everything that the witch doctors are saying, they're from the dead people. So that's why we have to start there. Let's look at the authority of the ancestors or the living dead. Let me help you quickly what they are thinking when they talk about the living dead. They are saying when we talk about the living dead, we are talking about a person who just recently died. That is known by the family. So now they are saying that person is living. Is not dead until the next five generations. The reason they are saying is that person is alive, is not dead. It's because they still know that person. And that's why I said the older people, they are the one leading. And that person is very wise. It doesn't appear to kids. They might not know him. So he comes to the older people who knows him. The problem with it is this. After five generations, you know what is the problem?
So generation
is that these new kids, they don't know that person. So
you
cannot now affect them anymore.
Or
you cannot teach or instruct them. So what he does, he goes to the Zangonas. Tell these kids what is wrong with them. They've forgotten me. Are you getting the point? That's why now these Zangomas will come and tell you. Your ancestors, my child. My child. They are not happy with you. They have turned away from you. You have forgotten them. When was your last time slaughtering a cow? Inviting them. You see what is the problem? It's the problem of these dead people. They believe they are a mediator between man and God. But the Bible is not telling us that. The Bible says that we've got one mediator between man and God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have only one mediator between man and God. Is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, few things we need to know about the dead people. What happens when unbelievers die? They are buried. Turn with me quickly to Luke 16. They are buried. Luke 16, when you die, we bury you. Now, Luke 16, verse 22, the Bible says, when the rich man died, when Lazarus and the rich man died, when the rich man died, we buried, he was buried. That's what it says.
Luke chapter 16, verse 19, uthi lo muntu lona wesicebi, umaqeda ukufa, wangcwatshwa.
Yes. Then they go to high days, in verse 23. Luke 16, verse 23. When they die, they go to high days.
Maqeda ukufa baya ehigh days.
Now, in the high days, again, in verse 23, Luke 16, we are told that they are able to see Father, they are able to see those who are not with them. That's what we see. And in verse 24 in Luke 16, do you see that? They are able to make requests to the other dead people.
Manje siyabona ukuthi bakhona ukuletha icelo kulabo abafile.
Let me read that one for you. I'm just
ufundele leyo ngokuka Luke chapter 16 verse 23.
This is the one that I think is very very important. Luke 16 in verse 24.
Verse 24.
Listen to the request.
Lalela.
And he called out.
Samemeza sathi,
Father Abraham.
Baba Abraham.
And you can see Abraham.
Abraham.
We know Abraham is a believer. Have mercy on me.
He's
not even asking God. He knows. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water. In water. And cool my tongue. For I am in anguish in this flame.
He's
able to make a request. But notice in verse 25. In high days, instead of answering your question, they are reminding you your sins. Notice in verse 25. And in verse, sorry, I'm reading the other side. In verse 25 says, but Abraham said, child, notice that word, remember, that you, in your lifetime, you received your good things. Remember your sins. Remember your sins when you were bragging. That is what verse 1 tells us. You were bragging. Remember your sins. So in short, high days is a place where you will remember your sins. Every wrong thing that you have done, you will remember and wish I didn't do that. It's a place of remembering your sins. It says, child, remember your sins. But notice the bad thing. They are unable to be helped. And they can't even help those who are living. According to the Bible, they cannot help you. Look in verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who will pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. You can't read. We are in verse 26. Luke
16:26. Okay, verse 26. Kubekiwe umhosha omkhulu phakathi kwethu. Nani ukuba abafuna ukuza lapha bayekini bangekwenze nalapho bangaweli kithi.
The dead people in high days and paradise, there's no traveling there, visiting, no visitation that is taking place there.
To
say, today I want to go and visit those who are in paradise.
The Bible says, no, that is
not what is happening there.
You
don't do this. Look in verse 27 and
28.
They are also unable to help those who are on earth. They cannot help you. Look in verse 28. He said, it's beginning from 7. And he said, then I beg you, Father. This one is begging this one to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. My friend, do you know what are dead people hoping for? They are hoping for you to escape that place. Dead people. Your family members. Who are dead. Who are not believers. What they are hoping for. Is that when you die. You must not join them.
ukuthi ungabi la bakhona.
They wish what is best for you.
Balangaza lokho okulungile.
They are not thinking of cows. Cows don't work that side.
Abacabangi inkomo.
They are not like Lord that is. They can't eat that side.
Abakhona ukudla.
What they are worried about it for you, yes.
Bacabanga
ngawo. But the problem is that they cannot help you.
Inkinga ukuthi abakhona ukukusiza.
That is why, look at the next part of that
verse.
But Abraham, in verse 29, but Abraham said,
Abraham,
they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father
Abraham.
But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. You know, these pastors were saying they are from the dead. They are coming now to tell you that heaven is real. You say, how did you escape? Because one thing I'm sure, if you are from hell. But how did you escape from hell? Because as far as I know, no trip from hell to earth.
I'll
say flee from that vessel. Because it's not even from hell. The devil took him somewhere. He didn't get in because you can't leave the place. What happened when people die?
If
they are not believers. They go to
Hades.
Then I'm hearing you asking me another question. My problem with the answer is my time. But another question says, so who are these people who are appearing to us?
They use
dreams.
Or
sometimes they like to appear. Just if they die, you know, like if they are recently dead.
You
hear the older people say, we saw him just walking.
So
I like how Mbiti answered that.
He
said to the Africans, they want the dead people, but they don't want them on the other hand. He says, if they see that person walking wherever they go, they say, hey, go away, I didn't kill you.
But
Africans, they are laughing people.
They
are
hospitable.
He said, there's no way. You will see them greeting them and say, hi, Grandpa, how are you doing?
Hi, unjani mkhulu, unjani.
Come, let's have coffee. Come.
You'll
never hear them doing that.
He's
saying they are afraid of them.
Why
are they afraid?
Yingani baba saba?
It's because it's not them.
Ngoba akusi yibo.
Whatever that they have seen, they are afraid of it. It might look like their grandparent, but it is not him. Their grandparents is in hell. Or is in paradise. And he can't escape there. Even if he tries to beg and ask, he can't escape. And you see also the believers' difference. When they die, they go where other believers they are. Go to be with Abraham. Is that not beautiful? When dead people go, don't worry, all the saints from the Old and the New Testament, when you die as a Christian, you join them. When you probably don't miss us. When you die, you don't miss us.
We miss you.
All the Old and the New Testament people.
And Christians
around the world.
Who
died?
You'll meet them.
Which one then is better? You being in hell and begging that your brothers, they must hear the gospel. Or you being with all the saints.
noma wena uba na bonke amakholwa
who believe in the Lord Jesus
abakholwa kuJesu Christ.
Unfortunately, time is failing us.
Isikhathi siyasiphelela.
That's what the preacher didn't know what to say. He said,
umshumayela ungazishumayela uyasho njalo.
That because of time I still have more to say.
Wathi ngenxa yesikhathi ngisanomningi ofanele ngikusho.
But the time is not allowing me.
Kodwa isikhathi asingivumeli.
But let me quickly say two stories in the Bible that seems to be troubling.
Ngithi ngisho mhlambe istory ezithu eBhayibhelini.
One story is 1 Samuel 28.
USamuel oqala 28.
You will remember that Saul, he asked for Samuel.
USawule uyacela ukuthi kuve kuye uSamuel.
The scholars are differing there.
Bayaphikisana abafundi.
And they are saying, is that Saul or a demon? What is happening there?
Bathi ngaba lo uSamuel noma idemon.
I will leave that discussion to the scholars.
Ngizoyikela labafundile.
But let me explain on these dead people who resurrect and speak with this alive person.
Ngizokhuluma ngala bantu abavusa abafile azokhuluma
nabo. In the Bible, that is the only event.
EBhayibhelini yiyo kuphela le.
Where we see
lasibona
Samuel being a prophet,
uSamuel kungumprofeti,
being summoned,
abizwa kwabafile,
come and speak,
ukuthi azokhuluma.
But what I want you to notice,
kodwa lo mfuna ukubona,
the first thing he says in that verse when he wakes up,
into aqala ibuzayo makavuka,
why are you troubling me?
Uthi yingani ungihlupa?
Why are you troubling me?
Yingani ungihlupa?
And another thing I want you to observe,
and
is that the reason God was not speaking with Saul?
Into embenzu uNkulunkulu angakhulumi noSawule.
Because he has sinned against God.
Ngoba bheka wonile emehlweni.
And when Samuel comes back, say, why are you troubling me?
USamuel makabuya uthi ungihluphelani.
That's what we get.
Yilokho sikuthola.
Secondly,
uSibili.
He's not changing God's commandment.
Aka change
uNkulunkulu. He's saying the same thing that God said.
Usho lokho uNkulunkulu sekakushilo.
He says you didn't obey God.
Wathi awulalelanga uNkulunkulu.
So the kingdom has been removed from you to David. What do you want?
Manje umbuso osusiwe ezandleni zakho.
The message when he was alive.
USamuel ushilo njengoba bheka phila.
And Samuel message when he's arising from the dead.
Umlayezo kaSamuel noma sekavukile kwafike.
Not changing the message.
Akaphenduli umlayezo.
He's not saying I'm cold.
Akathi ngiyagodola.
You did well by coming.
Kwenze kahle wena.
May you slow tie a goat for me.
Awusabe
yini. Things will be well with you.
Into zolunga.
And the next thing he says, my friend, you will die as God said.
Uthi uzofa njengoba
uthi. He's not waking up to protect.
Akavuki azomnceda.
Then another account.
Okunye futhi.
We see Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration.
Sibona uJesu entabeni.
You see when is the Bible tells us that Elijah and Moses appeared.
Ukuthi Elijah noMose bavela.
And they were speaking with Jesus.
Bakhuluma noJesu.
Not with the disciples.
Hayi nabafundi bani.
The disciples were busy. Let's build the temple. Let's build here.
Abafundi bona bayabhizi bathi hayi asakhe itempeli khona lana.
They were speaking with Jesus.
Uthi iBhayibheli bebakhuluma noJesus.
They didn't say anything to the disciples.
Azange basho lutho kwabafundi bakaJesus.
You see Jesus is the right person. Believe in him.
Azange bathi hayi kholani kuJesus.
Oh, the words that come from God.
Izwi likaNkulunkulu
elikhulu. This is my son, beloved son.
Elithi le indodana yami.
Listen to him.
Lalelani.
Ulaleleni. He's not telling us that when they appear in that mountain, they did speak with the disciple. Let us tell you the plan now. How are you going to evangelize and so on and so forth?
Ayi, bavela lapho batshela abafundi bakaJesu ukuthi manje indlela sizosebenza ngalendlela so evangeli izohamba ngalendlela.
Apart from those passages,
ngaphandle kwalezo ndawo,
nowhere else.
Akukho la kubale.
We see the dead people.
Last bona abantu abafile.
Speaking.
Bakhuluma
with the living people
nalabo abaphilayo.
And actually all those people were Christians, were believers.
La bonke
abantu unbelievers waking up and speaking with the unbelievers. Nowhere.
Akukho la kuvuka umuntu ongasikholwa akhuluma nabaphilayo.
They were believers.
Labo bekwa amakholo.
So that's the group that I said, the ancestors, the living dead, they affect the teachings of the elders.
Laba bafile abaphilayo yibo abathinta imfundiso zabadala,
and they affect the witch doctors.
Futhi bathinta na nenyanga.
Now what are we supposed to do?
Lokho fanele sikwenze.
Whatever that the elders are teaching.
Lokho abadala abafundisa kona.
They still need to go through the filter of God's word.
Fanele kundlule ezwini likaNkulunkulu.
That's what we need to do. If it is not agreeing with the word of God, we need to speak like the apostles. What must we do? In Acts chapter 5 verse 29. Should we listen to man or God? Tell us what must we do. Should we listen to man or to God? And they said that we can't do otherwise. We will listen to God. So what do we do with the witch doctors? They are from the devil. They were called by the devil. They are used by the devil. So we cannot listen to them.
You shall
remember one.
Umuye Sangoma.
She was living around this area.
Ngahlala kule ndawo le.
She made an effort. She phoned me.
Wayenza ukuthi angifonele.
Pastor.
Wathi mfundisi.
The ancestors said.
Wathi amadlozi athi.
I must tell you.
Ngitshele.
That be careful of that lady of a light complexion.
Caphela lo wesifazane omhlophe nyana.
Wait a minute. Light complexion.
Lo omhlophe.
Alright, I don't think that later on Amari says light complexion, but it's light. Light, I can see there.
But I loom something young boy.
What are they saying?
What do about in Amazon?
Be careful of that lead.
But capella,
can you please tell them my message?
What in Kala Bachel Umlazo?
Tell them that if God wants to warn me,
what you watch a little too long,
he will use other means, not them.
Uso seven, this is in the eyeball.
Thank you.
Nyabonga.
She's like, sorry, serious. I'm serious. What tell them. That if God wants to warn me, won't use them.
That's
all. No, Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm asking, is that all?
Ngaba kuphelele na?
Said yes.
Wathi kuphelele.
I said thank you.
Ngathi ngiyabonga.
We cannot listen to the witch doctors.
Afanelanga silalele inyanga.
They are not hearing from God.
Abalaleli.
And the Bible says the revealed things belong to us, and the unrevealed belong to the Lord.
Imfundiso ezaziwayo siphuma sinikezwe uNkulunkulu.
So if it's not unrevealed to us, it belongs to God. You don't have to worry about it. And all of the witch doctors they want to tell you about. They
want
to tell you why this happened in your past and what you, how can you fix it. God has given us His word for life and godliness. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you, O God, that you have tried to cover, Lord, as much of what your word says about our topic. We ask, O Lord, that may you help us in practical areas, Father, to be able to read your word and to allow your word, Lord, to speak in our lives, to speak in the way we do things. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.